You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. Becomes infectious.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of salt in the pasta water. Gotta salt the pasta water. I'm your host, James Basita, a.k.a. Spaghetti Curdy, and this is episode 263. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Knicks 125-111 loss to the Golden State Warriors. No shame in that. No shame in that. Topics include an ecstatic first half and a disastrous third quarter. Power ranking, the play of Frank, Trey, and Moutier. JaVale McGee's rat tail. Lance Thomas's new do. Isaiah Hicks. Troy Williams. And much more. Let's just start the show. Hit him off!
Yes!
These games are far more interesting right now for what we see out of individual players than what we see out of the team and how they play together. That's simplifying things a bit, but, you know, keeping an eye on the development of the young guys, to me, right now, is a much more interesting pursuit than getting into the, like, hows and whys of, you know, why did they lose to the Warriors, you know. Like, I'm not going to get into strategy, blah, blah, blah. The game summary, such as it is that it was really among the most fun halves of basketball of the entire season in the first half against the Warriors before a completely disastrous third quarter, completely predictably disastrous third quarter did them in. But that first half, that's having fun out there, boy. Woo! We had 2 point guard lineups, like, basically the entire first half, which is a good look for them right now. Gets the ball moving very well. Emmanuel Moutier was knocking down three after three after three. More on that in a bit when we get to the individual point guard play. Lance Thomas capped it all off with a buzzer-beating three to put the Knicks up one at the end of the first half. I believe it was 62-61. And it was like one of the top five moments of the season for me. Just one beautiful, perfect half of near-flawless ball against the Golden State Warriors with nothing but the Knicks youth movement leaning the way. And it was a delight. Then, you know, the Warriors decided to destroy the Knicks in the third quarter, so they did. They destroyed them. They're the, you know, world champions, one of the best teams of all time. And also, Jeff didn't go to the two-point guard lineup until late in the third quarter, which, you know, whatever. I appreciated him securing the tank there, but I think that he could have let the Knicks fight another quarter, and they still would have lost. You know, I think that's pretty safe to say. But I'm just picking nits here. So, yeah, Warriors turn on the Jets, third quarter. It was all over. Let's talk about some of our young point guards. Let's power rank them. That's my gimmick for today's episode. We're going to power rank the point guards. Who came out on top in this one? All three of the young guys are getting significant minutes these days. And different days, different guys come out on top. Let's start with Frank, who had a healthy 28 minutes. I'm giving him second star out of tonight's point guard crop. Talking about what position he's going to play, or, you know, what looks he's seeing at the end of this season, basically all off guard in this one. He came in the game with Moutier running the point. Then Moutier left, but Burke came in and Frank stayed at the two. Then Burke left and Moutier came back in and Frank stayed at the two. This was all in his first run on the court. But so, you know, not freaked out yet that he's not getting any point guard minutes. Like I said in the show yesterday, he does get occasional point guard looks. But I'm keeping an eye on you, Jeff. You're not going to go the rest of the season without giving Frank any, you know, only point guard minutes, being the only point guard on the court. As much as I just said I like the two and the three and hopefully the four and five point guard lineups at some point in this season, I do want to see Frank be the lone point guard out there from time to time. For this one, okay, fine, whatever. Some things that I saw out of Frank in this game, he had a nice fast break layup. That was good to see. He had a nice cutting backdoor reverse layup, so that was good to see. When you talk about his handles, which I have, and I do, and I've said they scare me, I'm not... His handles scaring me is not the same as me not thinking that he's shown flashes or me not thinking that he's capable of developing them, but that's the scariest part of his game because it's very raw. But he's styled and profiled in this one on a fast break. He didn't take it all the way to the hole. I would have liked to have seen him try to force contact there, but he got out on a fast break after grabbing a rebound, and he kind of did this like behind-the-back thing to... you know, confuse and bewilder his defender. And it was nice. It was nice open court dribbling from Frank. He passed to Burke. Not a great pass. So Burke kind of had to grab it at his ankles. He was at the three-point line. Frank took it full court, got into the basket, passed to a wide-open Burke in his defense, but not the greatest of pass. Burke had to kind of stoop down low to get it. His defender closed out. He pump-faked him. He pulled up for an awkward two. He missed it. I think if Frank just went to the hole there, that would have been the play. But nice to see him with some creativity on the break. He ducked behind a Kyle O'Quinn screen. I wouldn't call it really like a pick and roll or a pick and pop because Kyle didn't roll or pop. But he kind of was, you know, doing that two-man game, I guess you could call it, where he's just sort of dancing around the perimeter. Frank kind of went one way and another and then ducked around the Kyle O'Quinn screen finally. Pulled up calmly, sank an above the break three. He got his defender to go under the screen, sank an above the break three. That was a very nice play. I like that. Talking about a negative, he at one point did force a pass to Kyle O'Quinn, who was in double or triple coverage under the basket. He almost got it to him. It was like kind of a almost really nice pass, but not a great idea. And then he kind of compounded that in a rookie-ish, mistake-ish kind of way. The Warriors came back down the court after that turnover, and then he tried to steal it from Livingston on the Warriors, and he got a foul. He was like trying to make up for his mistake, like, oh man, I turned it over. Now I'm going to aggressively try to poke it away. I didn't see a replay. It almost looked like he might not have fouled, but it still was just, you know, kind of reeked of that, like trying a little too hard to overcompensate and like, it's that playing slightly on tilt kind of thing, right? One of the highlights of the game. That's not exactly fair, but late in this one, you know, the Warriors are running away with it. KD gets out on the break, and he's about to yam it so hard that the Garden just collapses. And Frank did just enough to foul him so he couldn't get the dunk. And it made me love Frank so much, even though it was like a losing play, sort of. He also, talking about a couple negatives, on defense, it wasn't a terrible game from him, but not his best. He got pump faked a couple times. Clay caught him on a pump fake. He tried to block David West into an early grave off a pump fake. He jumped like 100 feet in the air. He must have thought he was going to block him so hard. But no, David West pump faked him, drove right by him for a layup. Not an easy matchup for Frank, but you know what I'm saying. Iguodala, again, he got switched onto. Not an easy matchup is what I mean by again. Again, not an easy matchup, but Iguodala blew by Frank in the fourth. That being said, I liked the offensive aggression in this one from Frank. He looked for his shot a lot. Not a like gross amount, avoiding getting his teammates' looks amount, but he looked for his shot a decent amount. In 28 minutes, he had 13 points. On 6 of 12 shooting. I believe that ties a career high for Frank. So not saying much in his early career in terms of the scoring department. But look, he's starting to get consistent minutes. He's starting to take consistent shots. And he's looking like he's rounding into form a little bit. We saw some creative dribbling. We saw some nice shots. We saw some calm, you know, controlled use of screens. Taking his time to kind of, you know, pick at that when the time's right. Just when he's got his defender on his heels. So he was 1 of 3 from beyond the arc. He grabbed 5 rebounds. Nice and active there, looking for the ball, seeing his man, seeing the ball. Only 1 assist, but again, he didn't get those lead point guard minutes, so I'm not going to hurt him too much for that. I want to continue power ranking the point guards in this one. I want to talk about Trey Burke, but first, I want to remind you guys that you're listening to the Locked On Knicks podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave a sentence or two review. Those are always helpful too. And I want to hear what you guys have to say. Honestly, it's interesting to me. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks. Trey Burke, in his 24 minutes against the Warriors, earns first star in the young point guard rotation for this game. Just another nice offensive outing from Trey Burke. Hitting the shots, looking fast as shit. He had a real hot shooting start in this one. He finished with 18 points on 8 for 15 shooting, 1 for 4 from downtown. So, like, not the most efficient performance I've ever seen, but very solid. His vision looked good again. He had a great pass to Kyle O'Quinn on the pick and roll. I had to watch the pass like 3 times to see what actually happened. I was like, he what? He like snaked it around 2 guys? He had 5 assists on the night in only 24 minutes. And what was really the highlight of the game for me, he sunned Kevin Durant to death, basically. Durant got him on a switch, and he hit him with like the ultimate hesitation dribble move and then blew by him. It was like a fucking whip. Turned his body into a whip. It was like, psha! That's my official, that's the technical term for it. Psha! And he made him look a little foolish. You know, Kevin Durant doesn't look foolish for long, but in that moment, he made him look foolish. He had one bad turnover. He kind of threw one away at the end of the third, but was pretty decent there. And he was the plus-minus hero of the game for the Knicks in a game that they lost by many points and trailed by many points in the third. Trey Burke was +6 on the game. He was actually tied with Troy Williams and Damian Dotson for plus-minus hero, but he got 24 minutes to Troy Williams' 14 to Damian Dotson's 8. So I'm giving Trey the title belt in this one. Nice job from Trey. We didn't really learn anything from him, but he kept up his hot performance. And damn, is he quick. Woo! He's fun to watch. Emmanuel Mudiay, he's getting third star in his 30 minutes. He came out the gate hot. He hit his first 3, and I was like, all right, that's nice. He looked energized out of a timeout. Knicks were down 15-9. They called the timeout. He stole a pass. He jumped in front of an entry pass into the post, stole it. Drove the ball down the court, hit Ennis with a wicked pass for a wide-open fast break layup. It was a very nice sequence. Then he hit his second 3. He had not hit 1-3 as a Knick yet. Then he hit his second 3. He finished a drive in the paint, which he's struggled with, as we've talked about. Then he hit his third 3. Then he heat check missed his 4th 3 shortly thereafter that. But Emmanuel Mudiay finished 3 for 5. From downtown. You know, even though he did this, we talked about he hadn't hit a 3 before this, right? So, nice shooting from him in this game, but his form is still real bad. With that right leg kick going forward, his whole body goes forward a little bit, not straight up and down. And it seems like he's cheating to me. It reminds me of, this happens a lot with anything that you, like, throw. Whether it's shooting a basketball, or darts, or beer pong, or like whatever dumb thing you're doing where you're trying to like aim something. You get in these, when you don't trust your form, you find these little cheats. Like you line something up with your eye in just a way, and you kind of like, you like flick things that you know you shouldn't flick. Rather than, when people talk about aiming the ball, it seems like Moody is aiming it to me, or he doesn't trust his mechanics, because You want to be fluid. It's like, it's a tough thing to describe because you're always aiming, right? On some level, you're looking at the basket, you're aiming. But like a good shooter, you're looking at the basket and you're kind of like, you've got this robot release and you know your shoulders are squared in such a way and you're facing the basket and you believe it's going to go in. And with Mudiay, it looks like these hitches are all him trying to kind of like calibrate and aim and sort of like cheat. This is, I have no way of proving this, but I feel like it's this mental thing with him. And it just doesn't seem sustainable. It was fun, you know, for a quarter and a half or whatever, but, he's still, whatever. I'm not going to harp too much on his shot in this one because he did nice in this one, but he had a nice drive and handoff to Timmy under the basket, which I appreciated. Actually, to be fair, you know, I'm harping on Mudiay. I thought his drive and handoff to Timmy for a second, I thought he was Frank. And it got me, like, really excited. So he's doing things that if Frank did, you know, Frank does a lot of things he doesn't do. But there's a couple things he does that I'm like, if Frank did, I would lose my shit. But with him missing his finishing ability, missing his shooting, it kind of dampens that excitement even when he does do these things, like get to the hole really well. But he had 20 points on 15 shots, 3 of 5 from downtown, like I said. His D still looked really bad. He had one highlight where he blocked Steph on a second half drive. That was nice. But he was the plus minus turkey in this one at minus 22. He's not the only guy out there who didn't play great defense, but it's still a big problem for him, even in a game where he's killing it offensively. You know, on some level, he was the plus-minus turkey at minus 22. You know, Timmy's the other guy we're really keeping track of here. Big piece of the Knicks' future. He played 28 minutes. That's more like it. Still was, like, kind of largely invisible. Not a good shooting night for him. 4 for 11, 14 points, minus 13 on the night. 2 for 6 from downtown. He got to the foul line a little bit. Took 4 foul shots. He did get 4 assists. He got a steal. Only 1 rebound. 2 turnovers, not great, better than his 3 the other night. You know, it's another, I would say, disappointing outing from Timmy. Not horrifying, but disappointing. We saw some other young guys I want to talk about. Troy Williams, Isaiah Hicks, and Damian Dotson. But first, I want to remind you guys that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We got a podcast for every team in the NBA and the NFL. If you like the Knicks, you might like the New York Giants in the NFL. Locked On Giants is a great podcast that's covering everything that's going on this offseason. They got new hosts, Patricia Traina and Ed Valentine. So if you checked it out once before and you haven't checked it out in a while, check it out again. You might like the new flavor. Once again, that's Locked On Giants. Troy Williams got 15 minutes, didn't do much to distinguish himself in those 15 minutes. He tried to run a pick and roll with Beasley to hilarious effect. Turned it over as he was the pick and roll ball handler. Not his forte right now. Although it was only one pick and roll, so you know I don't want to jump to conclusions. He missed an open corner three, and then he blocked a shot ferociously. That's about all he did of note. So not much there from Troy. Showed some of his athleticism. Isaiah Hicks got 12 minutes. He went after a couple of rebounds aggressively. He took it hard to the hole once and got blocked. He hit a wide open super garbage time long mid-range too. Didn't do much to distinguish himself either. Looks a little flustered out there still. Damian Dotson only gets 8 minutes. Nothing much out of him in those 8 minutes. One notable gaffe. He threw the ball away on an out-of-bounds play. He was inbounding the ball and he just threw it away. So that's a pretty bad turnover. Not a good note for the rookie there. Would like to see some more time for him, but Jeff is juggling a lot of these young guys right now, so I'm not going to kill him too much for that. Want to close with some stray thoughts on the game. Just collect some loose ends from my notebook. Tracy Morgan did player lineups. He announced the Knicks as they took the court in this one, which was just tremendous. New York, man. You're not getting this in Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying? You're not getting this in Orlando. It was a delight. It was a little weird, kind of like a Make-A-Wish kid having his dream granted, his wish coming true. But he took it seriously. He wasn't messing around. He screamed their names with gusto. He gave everyone equal weight, so he was fair. He wasn't playing favorites. Very professional. And he's got a very engaging voice, an entertaining voice. All in all, I'm giving his performance an A-. Nobody's perfect on their first try, but Tracy Morgan did very well introducing the New York Knicks. Speaking of celebrity sightings, Jon Stewart is already, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you will. He, I feel like, took part in an instant classic reaction gif. JaVale McGee at one point hit a buzzer-beating turnaround long mid-range two, and it was so stupid. I just found it funny, because at this point I'm not expecting the Knicks to lose, and when things like that happen, I can laugh it off. Like, legit, don't really care at all. But Jon Stewart was, like, apoplectic. He was, you know, beside himself, comedically. It was fun. I suggest you check out the GIF. Clyde had a couple of interesting moments in this one. He said, Teflon D won't do it tonight, talking about the Knicks guarding the Warriors. And then he continued, you gotta bring the Velcro. And I felt like I had never heard the second half of that pearl before. He talks about Teflon D all the time, but you gotta bring the Velcro. Then I was like, maybe I have, and I just kind of forgot about it. But worth noting, that is the second half of that phrase. Fun little trivia fact. Clyde also dropped a Ain't That Pachulia, when Zaza Pachulia tried to go behind his back in transition in a very ambitious play for the big man. Burke actually grabbed him to stop that showboating, which I appreciated. No easy buckets, but yeah, Clyde has been saying ain't that Pachulia for a long time now. It's such an old-timey reference. I love his Wash references. Clyde, I love you. Got to talk about JaVale McGee's rat tail really quick. I think I respect it. Like, this is, it gets me every time I watch him play. I go back and forth. In its favor, it doesn't hinder his performance, a la, you know, an Elfrid Payton and the stupid, like, brick that he has hanging off the front of his head. No one else is doing this, so he's not just following a trend. Like, having, you know, a big afro or, like, a, you know, kind of a big mohawk-y, you know what I mean, like, type thing is not, like, a big hair or, like, a flat top, you know, like a Jaylen Brown kind of thing. Like, that stuff's sort of in vogue now. It's not unique anymore. You're not the one guy who remembers the 90s. The rat tail, no one else is rocking that, so I give him points for, you know, originality. But I don't think it's attractive. It's ugly. It's the Dingleberry of the hairstyle world. So I still am going back and forth, but I'll keep you guys updated on my thoughts on the matter. Lance's haircut, speaking of haircuts, confused me all night long. He's got this very high and tight, like vaguely Ninja Turtle-y, vaguely Sling Blade-y, borderline mohawk, the kind of Aaron Judge-ian vibe. And it was just I was like, who is this guy? I know he's slow and can't jump, but I don't recognize him. It was Lance Thomas. He also had one tall sock and or one of those like leg compression sleeves. I couldn't tell what it was, which I don't think he was rocking just one of earlier in the season. So a confusing stylistic game from Lance Thomas. Sending our thoughts and prayers to Michael Beasley. He got an inadvertent elbow, I think. I hate Draymond Green, but it looked like an inadvertent elbow to just above his eyebrow in the first half. And he got bloody. He had to get stitches. A foul was not called. Shame on the refs, but you know. They miss these things sometimes. They're humans, too. He came back and played in the second half. I was actually wondering. I was like, does he have that Enes Kanter spirit in him? They really shouldn't have brought him back in. Like, they didn't need him to secure the loss against the Warriors. I don't know. It was a little, let the guy's stitches heal. It's not, you know, not that serious right now, Jeff. Maybe you want to come in. Then he just got sort of looked dazed. Someone threw a pass to him, and he was standing behind the three-point arc, and he kind of just let it glance off his head. And, you know, Breen was like, oh. And Clyde was like, hey, he got hit in the head. What do you want from him? He's out of it. So, Michael Beasley, speedy recovery. One last note before we close out the show. Nick legend Dick Barnett was in the house. Fall back, baby. Number 12, number retired in the rafters. Starter on that 1969-70 championship team. Once a Nick, always a Nick. Tricky Dick. That's it for the show. Thank you guys for listening. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe if you haven't already. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks if you haven't already. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks. Follow me on Twitter at NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Have a good rest of your day. Or if you're listening to this like 750 years in the future, greetings. This is what it was like before the singularity. Talk to you guys later. Peace!